tomorrow on Disney Channel.
I'm Hallie.
Duncan. Duncan Fletcher.
Boy meets girl.
I'll pick you up at 7.
Where do you live? Boy asks girl out.
It's a big White House. You can't miss it.
Boy gets a big surprise.
Come on, I want you to meet Daddy.
Daddy? You mean the president?
Disney Channel presents...
You will be sure to take care of my little girl.
My date with the president's daughter. Tomorrow at 8, 7 Central on Disney Channel.
So special, so unique.
It's on like DCOM. It's on like
DCOM.
What's up, DCOMunists? This is on like DCOM. It's a Disney Channel original movie podcast. Back for our first episode of 2021. We have survived. Well, maybe not. The Civil War is about to start. My name is Ryan, and joining me as always is...
What's up? It's Madeline.
How you doing?
You know what? I just doom scroll now. That's pretty much all I do all day. Doom scrolling from day to night, you know.
Yeah, there was a good week there where I could not stop, and I was like even thinking it, like I was noticing it, but still was doing it.
Yeah.
I never even put on the news at home, you know, like, and I was doing that when I got home.
Oh, I don't do that. I can't do that.
Just had like the CNN app and like would go through all three guys, you know, would go through Anderson and Cooper and go through Don Lemon and the fucking Cuomo. And they all say the same thing in three different ways.
Yeah.
Within 3 hours. They kind of all repeat each other, but have their own way of saying it.
Right.
And I was just like, why am I doing this to myself? I don't know. It was weird.
It's just like you want something good to happen, so you just keep watching. And it's also like a study in humanity for me. Like, I just want to know, like, what kinds of people are out there? Have you been seeing all the fights I've been getting in on Facebook?
I saw one. Because I don't know. Like, I've kind of weeded out a lot of stuff on Facebook, so stuff doesn't pop up for me as often as it used to, I feel like. It's all like dorky movie stuff, you know, that pops up. So I don't know. I've seen once. I think when someone mentioned it, I did go looking. I'm like, I got to find out what this is all about. So what kind of fights have you been getting into?
Just like a lot of questions for Trump supporters and this meme I found about cults and just posting it and being like, hey, here's the signs that you're in a cult. I'm not saying you are in one, but here's the signs that you are. Basically, just
did that start a whole thing?
Well, yeah, because then they're like, you Democrat sheeple libtard.
Oh, yeah.
And like, here's the thing about libtard. That's not clever. It doesn't
it's
sound
also
like
not
anything.
Very nice. And we try to get rid of that word, right? You know, that it's trying to.
Well, that's the thing about it, right? And like, it doesn't sound like either of the words, so I don't understand. Like, where did it even come from? They just wanted to say the R word.
Yeah. So it's what a joke. It's wild. And so we're recording this. It's what is it? It's January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
But it felt like the right episode to do, you know? For this type of thing, but
which is my date with the president's
daughter. Yeah, so that's kind of the whole point. This will probably be a political episode, you know,
of the
show.
So if you don't like it, fight me on Facebook.
I wanted to bring this up to you, and I know we have a little group chat, and I was like, I'm gonna wait to bring this up.
Oh, I can't wait.
There's a reporter, and I think I posted her thing. She's from CNN. Her name's Ellie Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
She was the girl that worked for Vice that did that whole thing on Charlottesville a couple of years ago. I don't know if you remember that video. It was like she was like the reporter that was following around like the Proud Boys at like Charlottesville.
Okay.
If you saw her, she's like blonde, has really big glasses, you know, like. Anyway, she works for CNN now, so she got like an upgrade, I guess, you know. And so she was down there at the Capitol during this whole thing. And so I was following her. I've been following her on Twitter, and she posted that she was on this podcast talking about QAnon shit. And I was like, oh, I have to check that out. And it's called QAnon Anonymous.
QAnon Anonymous.
I just wanted you to see what the cover looks like.
Oh, shit.
It's, okay. It's really, it looks really scary, right?
It's kind like the V for Vendetta guy, kind of.
And there's like a cigarette. And I, it's kind of funny because it, when the show started, I was like, ooh, is this kind of like a scary QAnon podcast kind of thing? But really, they're just people that have been for a couple years now have been just like covering it to like show like, this is crazy, this is going on, you know, kind of
thing. Right.
But it's kind of crazy because they're so deep in it that they feel like, I was listening to it and I'm like, these guys are almost also in it, but they're not. You know, they're like, they're diving so deep, they know everything about it.
Yeah, it's like, know? The people that like are Bachelor fanatics, and at a certain point it feels like they're like a part of the show.
It kind of almost did, but they definitely are like against it, and and they're flabbergasted. And so I listened to their episode about the Capitol, and it was pretty interesting. And it's kind of funny because it kind of they do like weird little transitions within the thing where there'll be like a deep voice that happens and stuff like that, like it almost is part of the QAnon thing, but it's not.
You know? Right.
So, and they had like a legit, you know, reporter on there to talk about it, and they go deep and they're talking about some crazy stuff on there.
Yeah.
So I probably won't keep listening to the show. I just thought like, this is, I just wanted to hear that one, but
does it give you anxiety to listen to it?
A little bit. Yeah. And then it gives you so much anxiety, but then they kind of like bring you back to ground level again. Like the guys kind of are sort of funny about it.
Yeah.
Like at first I'm like, oh man, is this going to be bad? And then they end up being kind of funny people. So it kind of grounds you back into reality.
Well, it's just this weird thing because what they're saying is so, so crazy. Like I was telling you about how they believed that when Donald Trump was giving his pseudo concession speech, that wasn't really a concession speech, that each time he tapped on the desk, he was like doing Morse code. Ryan, that's what am I trying to say to you in Morse code?
That save the children or something like that.
Oh my
like,
God, that's exactly right.
Yeah, it's nuts. And yeah, and it's crazy that it's just gotten this big, and so it's kind of scary. And I don't see it going away. You know, like there was, I just read today that there was one of these women that was at the Capitol. She was like a school therapist.
Oh yeah, I saw that too.
You saw that, and she just like put in a resignation because she's like, I'm gonna be doing QAnon full time.
What does that entail, Ryan? Like, do they have paid sponsorships where they like sell guns on Instagram?
She's
like,
gonna save save the children is what she's gonna do from the blood sucking Democrats. That's what she's her plan is.
Did she think that they were in the Capitol with the kids?
At this point, maybe, you know, I think so. She may have thought that.
But I mean, we're the same in that like. I feel like we just can't stop thinking about it and just like wanting to understand these people. And it's so scary though, because then you just keep digging deeper and deeper until you're just like, there's no hope.
Yeah. And these guys kind of talk about like, I forgot who I was listening to, but just like, maybe it could eventually fade away when the people realize that it's bullshit. Like there's even like a thing where like Alex Jones is going on a rant about how it's all bullshit, you know?
Really? So, they lost Alex?
I don't know if they had him in the first place, but they like, he's like yelling at someone calling in about it, you know? He's like, it's bullshit. Rah!
I'm shocked that he's not the poster boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It's something, and it does give me anxiety, but like it's something, you can't just like put your head in the sand about it.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, like, it's a big portion of the country, which is horrifying to think about. But they were normal people at one time. Like, well, they're probably still like not great.
At least they were putting off normal.
Yeah, emitting normalness a little. I don't know, man. It's
something. Do you think anybody in think the president in My Date with the President's Daughter would have QAnon in interests.
Okay, I was trying to figure out whether he was a Democratic or Republican candidate, because there's the part where Will Friedle's dad is saying, like, way to waste the taxpayer money. And that sounds like a Republican thing to say. So I thought maybe he was, the president was a Democrat, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
I could see that the kind of way he's like, do nothing president, you know, it's like President Coleman or something. Isn't it? Or what is it? It's Daphne Coleman that plays.
Yeah, that's the actor.
What's his real name?
I never write the names down, Ryan.
I know. I'm not that guy either.
I'm just going to say Will Friedle from here on out.
Duncan. Isn't his name Duncan?
Mm-hmm. Eric Matthews.
Eric Matthews. Richmond. President Richmond. Played by Daphne Coleman. Anyway, I even getting off the Facebook. It's so funny because there was recently with this whole thing with, Twitter banning Trump and all the other social medias and stuff. And, oh, it's censorship. He's censored. And everyone on Twitter was posting stuff about 1984, and everyone's like, Orwell. A lot of people were like, you guys don't understand what you're talking about, and a couple months ago, it might have been just a month or two ago, someone on my Facebook posted like a quote that said it was from George Orwell about like people will believe what they want to believe or something, or the media kind of, bullshit. And I posted, I'm like, this isn't true, and I even posted a link to that was from Powell's bookstore from a guy that wrote about George Orwell, that meme was getting passed around and how it's bullshit. He never said that. And that's not his intention, kind of thing. And they were like commenting back, like, I guess it doesn't really matter that he didn't say it or not. It's just that I believe what it says.
Well, and it's like, and put a picture of yourself in that quote.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't even a picture. It was just like a picture of like heads, like TVs on heads. It was like, and I was just like, you're contradicting yourself. Exactly what you're saying right now. You're part of the biggest media thing there ever was. Facebook, there's nothing's bigger than or mainstream than Facebook. You're full of shit, like putting this up here. And they were like, oh, I like you, Ryan. I don't know why you're doing this. I'm like, because you're a fucking idiot. Like, just so dumb.
The thing is too that they just like keep going back to like the same three things that they have over and over and over, and like you can try reasoning, you can try, I don't know what to do at this point. If anyone knows what to do, like let us
please,
know.
Please let us know.
ultimately I want the world to be better. Listen to us. This is a fucking podcast about DCOMs.
Well, it just, this episode's kind of signifying the times we're in, where this is basically dropping on inauguration day,
If it comes about, we'll see.
If we make it that in time for that.
Yeah.
Let me see. I just want to read that exact thing because it was so funny. I found this article. It's an essay from this guy that wrote a book called The Ministry of Truth, the biography of George Orwell. Or George Orwell's 1984. And it's like the writer of this book this is his thing. He's all about George Orwell. And he was saying during the 2016 general campaign election, a meme circulated on Twitter that went all over the place that had Americans who had televisions on their heads with not subtle text beneath it that read, "The people will believe what the media tells them they believe. George Orwell." And he says, in fact, he never wrote those words. It doesn't sound like anything he's ever written. And he compares it like why the people have brought that up. And it's just like, I posted this article, this essay in the Facebook chat and they didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
100%.
It doesn't matter.
He did not read it. He didn't read 1984, nor did he read the article you sent him. But that's the thing.
It's an essay about a guy that freaking wrote a book about the whole thing. And he's just like, that meme is not true. And this guy's bitching about fake news. And I'm just like, this is crazy.
Ryan, Facebook is news now. Facebook is the only news.
That's what I was trying to say. Like, you're spreading wrong information on the biggest media thing there is. Like, don't act like you're against the media. It's like this weird, it's so contradicting. And sometimes I feel like I'm the crazy one. It's like, that's what's so nuts about this.
No, I know. And like, here's the thing, too. So now, like, they got Parler's done for now. It'll come back. Don't worry. I'm sure it'll be fucking back as soon as someone can make a dime off of it. And then now they're going into these, like, even shadier and shadier channels to talk to each other. It's just like,
do you think, like, the moms that are all, like, read the QAnon shit are going to go deep like that and look for stuff?
I mean, okay, here's the thing. I don't even want to say this because it's so weird. I got into some Instagram disagreements with a girl who is super QAnon, far right, and she's kind of, like, worshipped in that community. But basically, we just have, like, a mutual celebrity that we were following their Instagram and got into a little tiff back and forth. And so I've been kind of following her just to see, like, what does she post about? Like, what type of people follow her? Because, like, lots of people are getting this information from this girl, right? Mm-hmm. And so she kept getting her shit reported on Instagram, so she had to get off of Instagram. Then she started putting her stuff on Parler, and then she got kicked off of Parler. And now she's doing some kind of, like, inside, I don't even remember what the fuck it was called, but this thing that I've never even heard of, and all of her followers were just, like, following her there, you know?
Wow.
They just keep getting deeper because it's that thing when you're so dug into a cult and then, like, people try and explain it to you and tell you that that's incorrect, you're just going to keep digging in harder and harder and harder. And you know me, I'm obsessed with cults. I'm really interested in cults. And, like, it is a cult. Sorry for those who listen. I'm not sorry, though.
I was reading articles that are like how to talk to people about this, like that people are deep into it. How to, like, handle them and how not to be, like, right away, like, this is all bullshit. Don't you understand?
Yeah.
And you, I said something along the lines of, like, start by asking them questions, where they get this information, blah, blah, blah. But I haven't got too much experience with it. I would say I have a tiny bit of experience with it in real life.
Yeah.
With some, and anyway, like, it doesn't seem like that kind of thing really helps. At least in my opinion.
No, I mean, I think the thing that helps most is to ask questions like, oh, yeah, where did you get this from? Or why do you think this? I think it makes them question. And most of the time they're going to dig in deeper. But I've convinced myself that one time I'm going to ask one question, one person's going to be like, huh? And they're not going to know where to go from there, you know, and maybe a little crack will come in.
Can I read you, I won't say who it's from, but can I read you, like, a text I got?
Yes, please. I already know who it's from, though.
Yeah, and so everyone that, you know, some people will know.
Yeah.
And I just want to say, this is the text I got, and this is how I responded to it. It says, I'm making a lot of use with HBO Max. Tonight, watching Heaven's Gate, the cult of all cults. Have you seen it? Makes you realize that there sure are some effed up, confused people in the world. I also binged the TV show The Vow, another one with a bunch of screwed up folks. Okay. So what I said is, I said basically along the lines of, I was like, oh, I've watched some of that. I mean to catch up with it. It just shows how easy it is for people to get wrapped up in stuff like that. And I said, it reminds me of a lot of the folks that stormed the Capitol this week. And these people were all radicalized from stuff they've read on Facebook and everything like that. And it's people get down a rabbit hole with it. But there was no response after that.
Well, that's maybe they're doing a little bit of soul searching.
Do you think so? Do you think that's a way? What, like,
I don't know. I think here's what I think. I think if I get in a fight on someone with Facebook and I say one more thing and then they don't respond, I'm like, I think you're thinking about it. Or they're just like, I don't have time for this. Why are we wasting our time doing this? It could be either.
And it was just one exchange.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like,
that's what I believe, Ryan. I believe we are changing America one QAnon conspiracy theorist at a time.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody in this movie would be all wrapped up in QAnon. It felt like watching this movie felt like such a simpler time.
It did. It's so weird because I don't know if this was happening to you, but I was getting this thing just thinking, remember when being the president wasn't a joke and when like I would listen to what the president had to say and cared, and not that I'm like worship a president before or anything like that, but just like this idea that this used to be this establishment that wasn't like this in the past. Does that make sense?
It did. And even though this goofy ass movie, like it just felt like such like a different thing, whole other world. And it is. I mean, this is 1998, you know, pre 9/11, and just the world was at everyone's fingertips, it felt like, or something.
Yeah. It just felt like the problems of the world were smaller. And I mean, like, don't get me wrong.
It was huge. There's tons of stuff. Yeah. Tons of shit. But
it just, I don't know. It felt very different than it feels now. And watching it back, I was nostalgic for that time for sure.
Did you watch this one a lot?
Yeah.
Or have you watched it in a while though?
No, it had been a really long time since I'd seen it. But it's one of those ones where, like, once I started watching it, every single thing was coming back to me, you know?
Yeah. I don't think I've ever had seen it in full in one sitting before, what? I think. Maybe I had. I don't know. I feel like I've seen everything that was in it. I didn't remember the mall part, though. Maybe that was, I might have been always catching it, like, in the first 10 minutes, like, after that, you know, kind of thing.
The mall part was always my favorite part because I love makeover scenes.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
Love it.
Well, let's get into My Date with the President's Daughter, shall we?
Yeah, one more thing. Fuck white supremacy.
Fuck white supremacy. Fuck them all.
Black Lives Matter.
So what was going on in 1998, Madeline?
Let me tell you all about it, Ryan. Well, here's the thing that was happening. You remember Jerry Spice, that terrible woman who broke up the Spice Girls?
It was her fault?
She left.
Oh.
Because
there was
everything.
Four for a minute, wasn't there?
Were there? Possibly.
I think there was a moment where there was only four of them.
That's probably
true. For like maybe like one album or half an album or something.
Yeah, and I'm speaking out of nowhere because I do like Spice Girls for sure, but I wasn't like interested in what was going on when one of them left or whatever. I don't know if that really caused
it. Yeah, were you way into it as like when it was going on, when it was Spice Girls fever?
I liked the Spice Girls secretly, but I was one of those ones where I was like, the Spice Girls, I'm too cool for the Spice Girls. I only like Angry Girl 90s.
That's funny. Yeah, I think I was one of those kids probably like, the Spice Girl, that girl shit. But I probably liked like the songs. Like I remember having them on like the Now CDs and stuff.
Yeah. Did you have hit clips?
No, I never did. I remember seeing those being like running around the neighborhood and like the neighbor had them or something like that, you know, got to try them out, like thinking they were so cool and then realizing like, oh, it's not even the whole song. This is bullshit.
Yeah, I don't even understand that invention because it was so bulky. And if you had, I had friends who had many hit clips and they would just like clip them all together. And so they'd just be walking around with basically like a whole freaking concoction of little hit clips.
What a pain in the butt.
Yeah. And they only played like 30 seconds of music. Why did we buy those? And they were expensive.
It was like a kid's toy, I guess. I don't know. I remember thinking like even this is before iPods, but like MP3 players, I didn't understand either. I was just like, you can only fit like 100 songs on that thing. Like I have a whole book of CDs here with like tons of stuff, you know, like,
yeah,
it was like I didn't really get the concept until the iPod came around, until someone actually showed me in one. Mm-hmm. I had this friend, like he was like a, you know, only child. So he always had lots of the first stuff all the time and showing me that. And I remember I didn't get MP3 player until I was scrolling through his iPod. And I was like, holy shit, this has all this on here. And it was the coolest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, so. Yeah. When the iPods came out, it was a game changer.
Game changer. Yeah. Forever.
Total game changer. And then did you ever have that thing happen to you where you plug your iPod in and you had changed it slightly so that when you downloaded it, you lost everything that was in there and it uploaded the new things? Did that ever happen to you or is that just me?
I mean, I was pretty strict on my iPod and stuff about stuff. So I don't think I ever had that quite happen.
I don't know what happened, but it was the worst day of my life.
I know people that did that. They would like plug it into like someone else's computer or something like that. And
yeah,
lose
maybe
all
that's
stuff.
What it was. I just remember losing all my Fall Out Boy songs. That was so bad.
I wish I had my iPod still. I'm sure there's some good gems on there.
I got mine.
Available on Spotify. Does it work?
Yeah, it works. It still has like weird stuff from the early 2000s on it. Pretty tight.
I think my brother like took my iPod after I didn't need it anymore. I got like an iPhone or something, and it just like it's gone from that, you know. Oh. It's just doesn't exist anymore. It vaporized.
That's so sad.
But I'm sure there's probably a lot of cool like Stratum Bands things on there, because there's like bands I would play at this laser tag arena and Mesa, and I had like Stratum CDs from them.
Oh god, Stratum probably closed down, Ryan.
Was it still open?
Yeah. Before the pandemic, it was.
Or it was just never closed. People are still doing laser tech.
Yeah, there. Probably. They're just like right next to each other, just shooting each other. Like, that's what I picture.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jerry Halliwell, she had left the Spice Girls, but guess what? Someone was coming in to revolutionize music. It was Miss Britney Spears with Hit Me Baby One More Time. You know it.
Classic. I was huge Britney head, at least, you know, prepubescent boy wise. I was an Icy Nicey for sure.
Icy Nicey. Yeah, I still to this day have every single song on that album. So
I used to take, I remember there being, you know those things they'd have like in like a bowling alley where they like a sticker dispenser where you put like 50 cents in, put like it like, and it's a little sliding thing, like a little metal, like,
oh yeah.
I remember there being one with like all Britney Spears stickers and just like getting a bunch of those.
And did you just stick them onto your ceiling?
I had them like, I had a bulletin board in my room where I had a bunch of Britney stuff on there.
Love it.
It was the best. I was always being like, she's only 10 years older or 8 years older than me or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
we'll totally like, meet each other one day and get together. Yeah.
She's only like 8 years older than me. Oh, God.
Speaking of that, Viagra had been created for erectile dysfunction. First time.
It took that long. Damn, that's another game changer like the iPod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally. And Google. That was the year of Google hatching and becoming a Google.
Overlords.
Yeah, overlords.
That's cool.
Yeah. I mean, that's... Oh, do you want to guess who was sexiest man alive? 1998? Yep.
It wasn't Leo, was it?
I wish it was Leo. Was Leo ever sexiest man alive? It was like the Oscars. They never...
He might not have agreed ever to it, because I feel like it's a thing you kind of agree to. Let me think. Was it, I don't know. Who was it?
It was Harrison Ford.
Oh, I should have known.
That's a nicey nicey, baby.
It is a nicey nicey. Harrison Ford. Let me see. Was Leo ever the sexiest man alive?
I was just Googling that.
Although People Magazine did name him most beautiful person in the world in 98. In 98. He's never been crowned sexiest.
Why do they always want to screw him over? No Oscar, no sexy man. What's the deal? You're postulating that he just turned it down, but I don't know. I feel like maybe he'd been clamoring for it too.
All right, you want to hear the top 10 guys who were surprisingly never named sexiest man alive?
Yes.
All right, we'll go down the list. Number 10, Ricky Martin, another of the era.
I'm okay with that.
Number 9, John Stamos.
Oh, now that's a crime.
Number 8, Robert Downey Jr. Never was.
Yeah.
7, Rob Lowe. Never was.
He's cute. He's like a cutie patootie. I don't know that he's the sexiest man alive, though.
Sexy back himself, Justin Timberlake, has never been named sexiest man alive.
I'm good with that also.
5, Idris Elba. 4, fucking John Hamm has never been.
I think both of those are kind of crazy.
Yeah, and then Leonardo DiCaprio, Will Smith is number 2.
What?
And number 1, this is number 1, guys who were surprisingly never named sexiest man alive, Ryan Gosling.
What is up with that? I've always wondered that myself. I think Will Smith should be number 1. That seems insane to me. He's like the most famous person in the world.
This is one of those Watch Mojo thing. I don't know if you ever come Mojo. You ever come across those on YouTube? They kind of suck. They're like these stupid like top these countdown videos, and
I'm sure I've come across them in my doom scrolling.
Yeah, probably. Top 10 QAnon guys. Number one, the shaman, QAnon shaman.
That guy, he's the creep of the week, hands down. And that's not even like a good enough title, like a bad enough title for him. He's like monster of the...
Oh, the worst.
So I had a friend who had Leonardo DiCaprio all over her walls, and she would like cut them out, and literally like you couldn't even see the wall because of how many Leonardo DiCaprio pictures she had on her wall. And one day she told me that when she wakes up in the morning, she dances with him. And I don't really know what that means, but I thought it was real weird.
This is back then?
Yeah.
Around that time?
Yeah, but I still think it's weird now, but also, you gotta do what you gotta do.
She probably just like puts on like My Heart Will Go On and dances around the room.
Yeah. You know? To like with the wall? Like, does she take it off the wall and move, or do you think?
Maybe she has like a Helga Pataki kind of statue of him that she would pull out, like of Arnold, you know?
Ooh, okay.
Like made of gum and pieces of his hair and stuff.
I like that.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, she never showed me the shrine.
That's a secret.
Yeah.
1998. Pretty good times, I'd say. You know, it was easy times for us.
I would like to be there right now.
But yeah, My Date with the President's Daughter. It's pretty good. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I really, you want to go from like the beginning?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a little quick rundown of what it's about. I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory. This just like the title alone kind of explains exactly what it is. What it is.
Yeah, you want to know what it's about? Listen to the song. It's like My Date with the President's Daughter. Oh yeah, My Date with her. So young.
Yeah, what a great little tune, right?
Oh, I love it.
So just can't forget it.
No. Memorable, perfect. Like when they tell people to write music for songs, they just need to do this. Just sing the exact title, but with really catchy.
Yeah.
Avatar. Like... Avatar.
Yeah. People would like Avatar more if they were singing like that. The Na'vi, Jake Sully, Avatar.
Little blue guys everywhere, they're gonna save the world. I haven't seen Avatar since theaters.
I like Avatar. I'm a defender of Avatar. I know a lot of people aren't, but...
It looks fine. It looks nice.
It's a silly movie, but that's okay, you know? Yeah, it's great. It's good-ass theme song. I've always wanted to do like a cover of it, you know, for like a punk cover. Ooh, I mean, it's kind of punky a little bit, but like that'd be fun to do like at a show.
Oh yeah. Like. You should do that with NPR.
Yeah.
That'd be tight.
One of these days, maybe I even thought about it like too late in the game. Like it was like earlier this week and I was like, oh man, that would have been fun to like record a little cover song of that and like play it on the show. But
oh, that would have been cool. We should just tell our like producer.
Yeah. Quick.
Can you make a song? Yeah.
I was just going to like record something and I was like, send it to him and be like, can you add some like keys or, and some background vocals to this? But maybe eventually down the road, we don't have time in these pressing times, but maybe we'll do like a songs of the best DCOM songs or something like that. Like an episode of strictly that kind of thing.
I'd love
like
that.
A countdown. Like maybe we'll like do something like that. And that's when we'll do covers of the best ones.
Yeah. We'll put it on our Patreon.
Yeah. You know what? This reminds me. Speaking of DCOM songs, today is Dove Cameron's birthday. The Dove Cameron. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Dove Cameron.
Yeah, Maul herself. So
she's my least favorite character, but that doesn't mean we can't wish her a happy birthday.
Yeah. It's true. But something I wanted to mention too, because I couldn't, this song, can't believe we even talked about this. This isn't really a DCOM.
No.
This isn't necessarily a DCOM. This is our first Disney premiere film.
Yeah, we've already gone completely off the rails. What is this, episode 8, 9?
I think 9, yeah.
We just decided we wanted to watch it, and it's the inauguration.
Well, I think we were thinking about doing a couple of them, actually, of the Disney premiere films. Like, Suzy Q is one. Q is one of those, and Wish Upon a Star, I think, is one.
Oh, I have to tell you something, though.
Oh, go ahead.
So, yeah. You know how I was watching My Date with the President's Daughter on YouTube? It went right into Wish Upon a Star, and I watched that, too.
Oh, you did? Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. And it made me think about something, Ryan. And this is like a really big concern for the DCOM community. Are you ready?
Okay.
You know how they put stuff in the Disney vault? Like, who's putting the DCOMs in the Disney vault? Because we just have to watch them on YouTube and they look like shit.
Well, that's the thing, is most of them are on Disney Plus now.
But this one's not on there. Who's going to preserve the DCOMs, Ryan? Who?
I know it premiered on ABC on the Wonderful World of Disney, like a Sunday night movie kind of thing, this thing. But it kind of became a DCOM.
Yeah.
You know, it played all the time on Disney Channel and people thought it was a DCOM. And it kind of has a DCOM energy to it.
Definitely.
But I feel like it's also feels more expensive, if that makes sense. Like, it's like, doesn't it kind of feel like they have like a real set for the Oval Office and
yeah,
you know, it there's also, lots of locations and cars.
It feels more mature also, and more adult, I would say. More adult.
Especially
themes.
That pink dress, I would say.
Yes. Right? Let me tell you what. When she would, I feel like that's half the reason why I love that scene so much. She looked good in that dress.
Yeah. Well, before we... that is... Yeah, that really sparked something. We talked about that a lot in the shows, things that have sparked things. And I got to say, that pink dress is something. That is like, forget the fucking dress that is gold or blue or black, whatever the hell, you know, this is the dress.
Yeah.
You know,
those who gives anything about those dresses when you see this dress, baby?
It's like a pink kind of like a, what material would you call that?
Velvet.
You know? It's a velvet.
It's basically the dress of my preteen dreams, and I feel like I probably tried to find a dress that looked like it.
I'm sure those salt went off the shelves from this movie, you know. And meanwhile, Will Friedle looks like does he say something about Saturday Night Fever or he says something along the lines like 70s kind of disco look he has going on.
It's way too big for him. He looks like a little boy in a man suit.
Well, even before that, he kind of looks like that in his like the suit he brings. But I guess that's kind of part of the character. Like, maybe he's like in his dad's suit or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Anyway. Yeah. So the cop we watched on YouTube was like a VHS rip. And I thought that was kind of fun. I thought it was fitting for it to watch it. Kind of like it looked like someone had a VHS of the movie and put it on YouTube.
I just worry, who's going to preserve the DCOMs for future generations, Ryan? No one's putting those in the Disney vault.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be like criterions of these and stuff.
Yeah. Let's start a petition. Get DCOMs on Criterion. Go ahead. Go to DCOM.com. It's on like DCOM.
Yep.
And sign your name on the petition.
Yep. / Criterion. DCOM for Criterion.
/ no longer affiliated with Charge Rocks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all in the same address bar. Uh-huh,
yeah.
But basically, we're introduced, definitely kind of made for TV movie VHS style, that this girl is definitely well off, is getting waken up from, you know, her slumber. And then she realized she's like, and then it pans out and she's in the White House.
Yeah.
It's kind of the gist.
And I got to call bullshit on that. She's like, another boring day in my life. I'm so rich. Wham.
Yeah. She's kind of, so this is the actress. What is her name in the movie? I know we don't look at names.
Pink dress
Hallie.
Lady.
Hallie Richman. Played by Elizabeth Harnos. Is that how you say her last name? Harnos? Hanoi. She is said daughter, president's daughter. And she's basically, you know, she's ready to get out. She's sick of being the president's daughter. She didn't ask to be the president's daughter.
No.
You know, she wants to be like a normal kid. I think even like the helper or like the maid says something like about normal kids when she's like waking her up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, cry me a river. Sorry. Eating your breakfast in like your 4 or 5 course meal breakfast. Get out of here.
She's kind of like, she's great. And I think she's beautiful. That freaking dress. I feel like, what is her deal? Like, what is, like, does she have a thing? Like, she, other than being like, I want to go to dances and get in trouble and stuff. Like, does she have any other personality?
I was actually going the complete other direction, because I feel like it's Will Friedle's character that doesn't have much going with him. But she, I feel like she's really interesting.
They kind of both do, yeah. I feel like, in my opinion. Because with Will Friedle, how we're introduced to him is that he's like into magic and he's supposed to be a nerd and his friends make fun of him. And there's kind of a throwaway line that I wish got brought up earlier where his dad, eventually, spoilers, the dad and the president are looking for them, which I think is like some of the best stuff in the movie. But the dad says something along the lines of like, we don't even talk to each other or relate to each other at all kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you don't have a scene that kind of sets that up.
I feel like the theme of the movie is deadbeat dads. Like, get to know your kids, you deadbeat dads.
Yeah. Yeah. Freaking daddy issues.
Daddy issues.
You know, which make for some of the best stuff.
Yeah, but I really like her because she's this little free spirit. And I think, like, maybe her character is a little bit shallow. But I love this idea that this super privileged girl who's never gotten to do anything is just like, I'm gonna see what a biker bar is and I want to see what this is. It's kind of fun.
I just wish she had like one other thing.
Yeah,
you know, like Will Friedle has the magic and it comes back around, like it's introduced in the beginning and then eventually helps him out later, but she doesn't have like another thing.
It's probably because all she does is like follow her dad around all day. I don't know if that's like intentional writing on Disney's part, but
well, they don't like, she doesn't have like a moment really where her like smarts or something like gets her out of something.
Yeah, you know? I can see that.
It's not like that. That's what I'm trying to say with her.
Yeah.
I think she's like great and fun in the movie, but like, I mean, this is, we're putting on like a lot, we're judging these as like adults now, I guess. And just like, way, this is something that should be in the movie. And it's not really necessarily for that. It's supposed to be kind of like the shallow fun kind of thing. Which I think it is. I think it is a fun little movie, but
yeah,
that's like the only thing why, because like, I feel like the president and the other dad have more little things about him than she does.
Yeah, I can totally see that. And I think that watching it this time, I'm sad to say it, but it felt a little empty for me. And maybe it was because teenage Madeline was just like so repressed, like any boy and girl being together. It was so great. But watching it back now, it feels like there's like not really any chemistry between them, not really anything, any reason for them to like each other. He's kind of a dick the whole time, which I don't remember thinking that.
I didn't remember that either. He kind of is like, just like, we got to get to the dance. And he doesn't really have anything else really going. You know?
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of messed up that, you know, he just wants to win this $100 from his friends. I always remember rooting for him and being like, oh, they're going to fall in love. It's going to be so cool.
I'm kind of sick of that trope. The whole like, you know, like a bet to take someone to like the dance or a date or something. Like it's in 10 Things I Hate About You. And then like the person finding out about it, you know, kind of thing.
She's all that. I was going to bring this up. It is such a thing in movies. Has this ever happened to you in your life, Ryan? Did you ever make a bet with anybody?
No, not like that. Never. No.
One time I made a bet.
Yeah. What was the bet?
Yeah, I bet my friend Kirsten Storms.
Oh, what'd you bet her?
I bet her that if we both flirted with Gregory, I would be the one taking him out.
I see.
Easiest $100 I ever won.
Real Marjorie there going on.
I was being a little bit of a Marjorie. But yeah, I just think it's so silly that this keeps being like, which movie did it first? And then other people just kept copying it. Do you remember? And she's all that when she's like, am I a bet? Am I a fucking bet? Do you remember that part?
No, I've probably only watched it on TV before.
Come on, Ryan.
Yeah, I should watch that again.
Rachel Lee Cook's like crying. It's amazing.
Oh, she's great. Yeah, I don't know. That's just a trope. And so that's kind of what happens in the movie is like the dudes bet like, oh, you can't get a date to the dance. And they bet $50. And then he ends up running into the president's daughter at the mall. Doesn't know it's the president's daughter when he lives in Washington, D.C. And I feel like if you lived in that area, like in Arlington, Virginia and all that stuff, you would probably know a little bit about what's going on in Washington. I'm guessing.
Completely. And like, you wouldn't be able to tell who Chelsea Clinton is or like who Sasha and Malia are. Like, that is insane that you wouldn't know that. And then the fact that he gets the address 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and does not know that's the White House. That's our public school dollars. Just
down the drain. Yeah. That's fun. It's all in the trailer and it's all like fun stuff. Like, it's a big White House. You can't miss it. Like that line and stuff like that. I remember that being in the little preview and all that stuff when they have the little meet cute in the mall. It's kind of like it's a good little setup, I feel like, for the movie, even though she kind of escapes from like a meeting, which is a national security risk. There's this movie is like full of things that, you know, the world would come to to a stop for the president's daughter going missing. But screw all that. You know, this is just fun world.
They paint the Secret Service as just completely incompetent, buffoons, bumbling, which is so fun. I love the scene where they're at the movies. So, so how they end up ditching the Secret Service is they go to the movies, which is one of the pre-approved places that the White House people.
Yeah, and they're watching like some gnarly kind of like movie too. Yeah. It looked like a cool kind of horror movie. I was trying to find out what that was, but I couldn't find it.
And the Secret Service, they're holding their popcorn. And then all of a sudden, Hallie has this idea to pretend like she's making out with Will Friedle and like bring him to the floor, basically. And so the Secret Service is like, whoa, what's going on over there? And they just keep watching the movie as they escape. It's great.
Yeah, there's like a line where they're like, we're supposed to protect her. And then I think he says something, one of them says like, I think she's the one doing the attacking, or like, he's the one that needs protecting or something like that.
Yeah.
Like
that, so. That gave me a chuckle. And then the line when he's talking to like the main Secret Service, the leader of the Secret Service, he's like, we thought they were engaged in some teenage passion.
Yeah, you're right. So there's kind of more a little bit teen leaning jokes and stuff in this one. It's a little more suggestive than other DCOMs.
Well, the part to me that was really like, whoa, was
And it's adolescent passion. I wrote that down, actually.
Adolescent passion. Yeah. The part where they're driving and the redneck type people are basically trying to, like, assault her. They want to assault her and are yelling it out of the car. I was like, this is a DCOM. It's not. But this is kind of like a DCOM. Jeez.
That whole part. So there's lots of shenanigans that go on. You can probably, they run into... Someone steals the car, you know, they run into freaking hillbillies for some reason, which is really weird for like just random hillbillies that look like they're from like Arkansas that are like chase them down into like a club in Washington, D.C. And then they went to a biker bar, which I appreciate. I always like that. That reminds me of Pee Wee a little bit, the whole biker bar scene. And Duncan does some magic to get him out of there. And that's when she realizes like, oh, that's what he likes to do. He's not like a rock climber. And they kind of have that whole moment where you kind of think like, oh, this is when they finally like get some chemistry, mm-hmm. when they kind of know more about each other. But then it kind of goes back to like, we have to go to the dance thing. You know, I thought that was going to be the turn in the movie.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't feel like they have that much of an opportunity to get to know each other because they're constantly running away from things or having things happen.
She's just so excited to see the world, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was really disappointed with the lack of like relationship building there, because at the end they get to actually have a date. The president allows them to go out together. But it feels very much like, why even bother? Because you two don't seem to like each other that much anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of too bad. You're right. Like they are lacking that. And it, and you never think about that as a kid, you know, watching it.
Yeah, because
you're kind of just like,
you're repressed.
Here's Corey Matt. Here's Corey Matthews. It's not Corey Matthews.
He's Eric Matthews.
Eric, yeah.
Now, if you want
Eric Matthews in this chick in this pink dress, that's like, this is the best, you know?
Now, if you want to talk chemistry, though, Ryan, Topanga and Corey, there is so much chemistry. I can watch that today, and it lights on fire.
You wanted to talk about Boy Meets World a little bit, actually.
Yeah. Do you want to spend between 5 minutes and 1 hour just discussing Boy Meets World?
Please do.
You know, what I have to say about Boy Meets World is, would I be the person that I am today without Boy Meets World? I say nay. Because Boy Meets World taught me how to be a good person, how to have compassion, how to believe in love. And basically, I was a TV watching kid in the 90s. And
We were raised by the TV.
100%. I believe that. And it's true. I could have been a psycho murderer. Not for Boy Meets World. I could be a QAnoner.
Yeah. That's probably why those people didn't watch Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
You know?
They probably watched Duck Dynasty. Oh my God, we figured it out. What if instead of me doing that cult meme, I just posted videos of Boy Meets World?
Just to try to change the temperature and the...
Yeah, to turn their hearts from stone. Two dots.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
It was a great little show. I would mean to revisit and stuff. Does it hold up?
100%. 100%. I still watch it to this day. I have them all on DVD. And the thing is, it's still funny. And that to me is really surprising.
I think Will Friedle's pretty funny. That's something I have a note in here. Because he didn't really, I feel like, take off, you know?
Yeah.
Like after Boy Meets World and stuff like this, and I was thinking about it, like, why? And I wrote down that he kind of has like a Jack Black energy to him, and there's already a Jack Black that exists.
Yeah,
you know? Like there can't be another one like the skinny Jack Black, you know, or something like that.
Well,
so
what's funny about him too is when he was originally on Boy Meets World, he was cast to be the pretty boy. You know, like the
he's kind of like a jockey kind of guy, yeah.
But then by the time the series is over, he's just this goofy, crazy, like totally different energy, really,
like a clown,
really slapstick, yeah, like a clown. Yeah. And that's where he really flourishes, because I feel like even in this movie, he doesn't really get a chance to show off his comedic chops as much.
A little bit. There's a few moments and stuff, but yeah, you're right. Like he's. I bet you there it was just the case where they realized by the end of the first season, by the second season, he's a little bit more goofy, right? Or when does he kind of change?
In Boy Meets World, he's pretty solid as, like, he just becomes dumber over time. So by the second season, he's still kind of hot but dumb. And then by probably like season 3 or 4, he kind of gets loonier, and then by the time he's in college, he's just like a total whack job. It's great.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the case where they just, like, the writers kind of like realize, like, oh, his strengths are this.
Yeah.
You know, he's not really that. And that's the best way to do something when you're doing a TV show is kind of adjust to your actors you have and try to make them do something they're not good at.
100%. And he owns that role. It is, you gotta watch Boy Meets World.
How many seasons did it go? It feels like so much, but it's not really that much, right? It's like,
I want to say I have the last season. I feel like it went 7 seasons, I want to say. And they end, so it goes all the way up from elementary school to college, which is crazy. And it's just
crazy
because they have so many episodes, because each season has like a lot more than 20 episodes, I think.
Yeah, 7 seasons it went.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and there's like 20 something episodes in each season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at the this Boy Meets World podcast. It never really lost viewers. Looking at it, it always stayed around like 10 million viewers each week.
Well, because the viewers literally grew up with them, which is so cool. Because I remember seeing it when I was younger, and then seeing it when I wasn't old enough to be in college by the time those were airing. But
I mostly saw, like, I think, like, the rerun or the stuff that was playing on Disney. I didn't really watch it on like ABC or whatever. Like,
yeah,
I just kind of.
Well, I used to watch the, do you remember the TGIF Friday night lineup that was always so good?
I remember that, but I never really watched that.
Oh, I always watched that.
Yeah.
That was my reason to live.
Yeah, Will Friedle, he's great. Like, I think he's great. Like, they're both really good. I just, they both are missing something with those two. That they're lacking a little bit of chemistry, at least it, watching it from, you know, this age.
And I postulate, like, if that's not why they didn't kind of take his character on Boy Meets World into more of the goofy zone, because I feel like he was supposed to be having, like, all these relationships with girls, but I don't think Will Friedle really has, like, chemistry with other actors, like, you know, in like, a dating way. So I wonder if that was kind of a part of that.
Well, there was that whole thing, wasn't it, like, him and the Matthew Lawrence fighting over that actress that's now a porn star?
Yeah, Rachel. But see, yeah, Rachel. I never bought it with him and her. Like, you buy the other ones being together. I think he just, his energy is just so zany. Like, it's just doesn't work for romantic stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, it's sort of a Jack Blacky kind of thing. And it's so funny. I'm thinking of Jack Black also, like, in The Holiday and with Kate Winslet.
Yeah.
It's kind of good, I feel like, in that little part. You know, I haven't watched it in a while, but it's strange.
Oh,
but
Ryan.
He dials it back.
You're not going to like my take on The Holiday.
What is it? I don't really know. I mean, I don't really have a take because I've only watched it, like, once, so.
My take is cut out Kate Winslet and Jack Black.
I thought most people wanted the other part cut out.
I've seen that too. I've seen there's like two thoughts to it. It's one or the other. I don't know. I'm just not as into their storyline for some reason. Because Jude Law is Mr. Napkinhead. Remember that?
So Duncan, when he arrives at the White House, he's like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, I can't believe Hallie lives here. And Hallie goes, hey, I want you to meet Daddy. And he goes, the president of our country? Of our country? Like, in the way he kind of delivers it is really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's in that zany kind of vibe.
But, yeah. I was laughing at that line. I was also, I was laughing at that part too, because the idea that Will Friedle could just drive up to the White House before Trump put, like, a baby gate around it.
Well, even, like, before, not, I mean, I don't even know if you could ever do that, but he just, like, pulls up and the guard is just like, what's your name?
Like, he's just like, I'm just driving towards, I'm pretty sure if you just started driving up to the White House, they would, like, shoot your car.
At least, you know, the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
But that's wild. Yeah. Oh, you know, the character we haven't really talked about? I mean,
oh, my cat.
Well, Dabney Coleman is the president who's in 9 to 5, and he's in some other stuff too. You remember that actor? He's like bald. He has like jokes about being bald.
I wish Dabney Coleman was the president.
Yeah, he seems okay. You know, doesn't seem too bad. He's just like, do you think though, he, like, a president would get elected with a mustache like that?
Now I'm going back in time to think of presidents and if they had,
like,
mustaches.
Modern day presidents with mustaches, like, as prominent as Dabney Coleman.
I mean, I think yes, because if Dabney Coleman didn't have that mustache, he would definitely not be electable.
Yeah, he's first billed in the movie too, which is great. I mean, he's the biggest actor probably in the movie, but he's like actor you see pop up in a lot of stuff. But I wanted to talk about probably my favorite character in the movie, the sister, Will Friedle's sister.
I knew you were gonna say that.
Yeah. Tracy, the daughter. She's like a female Beans from Even Stevens.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely her vibe.
She's hilarious. She's eating all the food at the White House and has some real zingers.
I feel like she presents it too much. Like, I'm the funny kid.
Okay.
I knew you were going to like her, though. I was going to give her my creep of the week. There's no reason for it. I didn't like her vibe.
You don't have the creep of the week for the VP son?
I don't know, Ryan. I don't know.
Wait, you like him?
I don't know, Ryan.
The vice president's son is just like this freaking, is just creeping on our main president's daughter the whole movie.
Yeah.
Put his arms around her, and he's like sneaking out to go dancing at the club too. He's like he looks like one of the fucking Trump kids or something.
He does.
One of the Trump's boys.
Yeah.
He's the creep of the week.
Yeah, he was on my creep list too, I will say. But
you're going to put Tracy the daughter. That's hilarious.
Yeah, she's my creep of the week because she trying to hide?
She's sitting up at the president's fundraiser, eating the food at his table. It's great. I don't know. It's funny.
It's 2-2.
The funny kid is always funny in these movies.
I need him to have some more like natural charisma, not so put upon. Like Chalupa's kid.
The Chalupa kid is the best. I miss that.
I like how Chalupa's kid is just like our marker for a good child actor.
I miss Fuller House. I hope that someday Gibbler House comes out.
It better.
That's my wish. Because that'll be the best show. That'll be the better one. Kimmy Gibbler, her husband, what's his name? Fernando. And it'd be great. It'd be amazing.
I want one with Stephanie's family, though.
Well, she's a Gibbler now, if you watch the show.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yes, yes, yes. But
she could be part of it.
Yes.
She could be part of the Gibbler family.
Ryan, what if Full House goes on so long that they do a spinoff called Holy Chalupas? And it's the Chalupa's kid and his kids.
I think they're probably... I don't think we'll see one in a little while. Until its fullest house, when, you know, the kids that we had in this show are older, too, maybe.
But that's the thing, I'm scared. We'll be, like, do you think we'll be in old, like, retirement homes, just like, holy chalupa.
Yeah, but we'll be doing it like this, you know, like, on our screens.
Yeah.
Probably.
The DCOMs will...
Because every old person's going to have a podcast still. We're all be playing video games. It'll be pretty similar, just old and like cranky about the liberals will probably be.
Yeah. There will be like some conspiracy theory that we're all bought into.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're just like mad at the some sort of crazy thing. We'll be just like, oh, God, can you believe that these robots that want their human rights or whatever? We'd be mad at that, you know?
Yeah. What's next if we're giving robots rights?
That's what's gonna happen, and that's what Matrix is basically about, you know. That's why they turned on us and made us batteries, which I'm okay with. Make me a battery, you know.
Yeah, I think I'd rather be a battery. I want to talk, can we talk about Club Alien at some point?
Yes, Club Alien. That's where they go. They said the dance pretty much.
How much
it stops.
Did you want to go to Club Alien so bad? Because I did. That looked so fun.
It looked kind of lame. I don't know. What? A little bit. What? They're like 17 years old or something. And like, how are they getting into this club? Is it like a kids club? Like a soda bar or something?
They used to have in Arizona a club for like 17 year olds. Do you remember that? The Buzz or something?
That was, I think, a little after my time, but I do. I've read about that. Yeah,
I went there.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, disgusting. How
was it? Like this? Was it like Club Alien?
No, it wasn't fun or cool at all. It was just gross. See, I want to go somewhere where it's like neon everywhere and there's like glow sticks.
Yeah, it was kind of like definitely kids' version of a club. And there's like that. That's like another creep of the week is that biker guy that has like looks like he's 40 years old. It's supposed to be like a teenager.
He's so gross. With
a motorcycle. He has like ripped jeans and stuff. Like he looks like he's from another movie.
Yeah. Or something. And he has like a squat house. Like how is he supposed to be in high school?
Yeah. That guy has been held back for sure.
Oh yeah.
And he's trying to make the moves on our girl in the pink dress.
And let's get to this part too. So he ends up, she gets pissed at Will Friedle. And so she ends up going on this guy's motorcycle. What's his name? Like Dirk or something. We're going to call him Steve Dirk. So
Steve Dirk,
he ends up getting on. She ends up getting on a motorcycle with Steve Dirk and going back to his like squatter house that looks very scary. And Will Friedle, there's this whole thing throughout the movie where Will Friedle keeps saying, oh, I'm a black belt and I'm like this He-Man and can do all this stuff. But he's obviously lying, like he likes to do magic. And it feels like there's this theme of, hey, if you're a real man, you should kick this guy's ass. Like, doesn't that feel like what he's supposed to be doing in order for us to like him?
Oh, Will Friedle?
Yeah.
Kind of? Yeah. It's definitely like that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's toxic masculinity, right? Like, mm-hmm. Wanting us to want him to kick this guy's ass. So finally, he does it at the end, and he's the hero, and he kicks Steve Dirk, Steve's ass. And the whole time, all I could think was, then she tips over the guy's motorcycle after Will Friedle punches him in the face. And I'm like, he is literally going to murder Will Friedle on Monday at school. Like, he will be dead after one day.
I don't know. That kid shouldn't be in school. He's like 40 years old.
At least.
Yeah. And he's hanging out with these young people. It's bad news. No good, very bad, don't do it.
100%.
There's some people, some tweakers that steal Duncan's dad's car that he's driving around. I like them. I think they're fun.
Yeah, they have a very Pulp Fiction energy about them.
I bet they were thinking, they're probably thinking this is Honey Bunny and Pumpkin and Honey Bunny.
Yeah.
From Pulp Fiction. I had to think of the lines in my head. But yeah, looks like that's what they were going for. And they're like, there's a point where they like rob a convenience store and they're like, who needs money when you got disguises or something like that? Or no, they were stealing, not even money. They were just stealing like stuff like chips and shit from the convenience store and getting in the car. Yeah, they were fun. They're a fun little group. And they end up at the White House as well, because they get confused somehow for our main characters. But eventually the president and Will Friedle's dad go on a little trip together, or like to find them, you know, that they know where they're at. And I kind of like that. I think that's a fun little element to the movie. Like you were saying, little daddy issues and them working themselves out and kind of becoming friends and stuff.
Yeah. And I love that they're from opposing political parties too. And so, Will Friedle's dad gets to know Pink Lady's dad, and he ends up wanting to vote for him at the end.
Well, he gets him like a promotion, basically, because he gets him to call his boss and ask him to golf and stuff. So yeah, it's all fucking deep state fucking bullshit, you know.
Nepotism.
Yeah. But that is a nice thing. And to be honest, those guys in that moment have more chemistry than the rest of our main characters, really.
Yeah, 100%. I would rather watch that movie, to be honest. Like, president meeting a normal schmo guy and them seeing, how about you live a day in my life, bud? See how easy it is.
Yeah.
You know? Ooh, what if there was a Freaky Friday where a president switched with a QAnon
an Antifa person or something?
Yeah, or what if there was a Freaky Friday movie where an Antifa person switched with QAnon for a day and they lived in each other's shoes?
Well, they realize that they're pretty much the same, except Antifa is fighting the good fight, you know.
Except one of them are good people.
They're fighting a real battle and not a fake one made up on the internet. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. 100%. So
that's kind of, I guess, the difference. Something I noticed, you can't really see it too well. We're introduced to Duncan Will Friedle in like a CD store. And I was like, oh, wow. Remember that? Remember like a shop with like a FYE or whatever it was called, or
Sam
something
Goody.
Like that. Sam Goody. Yeah, Sam Goody. And his friends are like fighting about like music. And like the one black person in the movie is one of his friends. And he says like, this is the one that's going to get you chicks. And it's a Fastball CD. You remember Fastball?
Well, I don't know what Fastball is.
They had the song The Way. Every road that I walk on is painted gold.
I love that song.
It's always summer, you never get cold. That's like their one hit. And so he's like holding up like, this is the song, this is the album. And I couldn't see what the other one was, but that was one that was a little detail I noticed.
Yeah, I would agree. He's right about that.
Oh, I want to ask you what you think. So Duncan, in the moment where there's like the scene where the pink dress is revealed, which is the star of the movie, we should say, you know.
Yeah, it's like
the pink dresses. Boing! And in one of those, this is why I think I remember this from the Britney Spears things I was talking about, the little dispensers. Duncan puts a quarter into one of these machines and gets a little eyeball ring. It's a little ring with an eyeball holographic that closes and opens. What's the symbolism of the eyeball ring? What would you say? Does that mean, why the eyeball ring?
It means
because I was like this. I was like, oh, cool. They're gonna open their eye. Like it'd make more sense if the eyeball got put on like one of the dads. But our characters don't really change much. Our main characters. You think like, oh, you're opening your eyes to the world or something. But what does she learn other than like my life as the president's daughter is boring and there's cool stuff going on? You know.
I think it must be a secret political message.
It is kind of like a culty kind of weird. What is the eyeball and the dollar bill?
Yeah.
Like kind of thing.
What were they trying to tell us?
I was just trying. What were they trying to say with that eyeball ring? I just don't.
Maybe it meant Clinton is guilty. Open your eyes and see he gave Milanka Lewinsky gave him a blowjob. That was 1998.
That was 1998 too?
Yeah.
That's when that happened. What a year, man. What a year. Yeah, I was stuck on that eyeball. I should have brought that up earlier just to like have us think on it. Cause I really was like trying to make up some goofy, funny like thing for what it means, but I couldn't even think of anything that was related to the movie.
I think it's just like here, you're going to wear my ring thing. Ooh. And then she like takes it off immediately.
Yeah, but like the eyeball, like they would punch in on that eyeball thing. It wasn't just like a random ring. I don't know.
Ryan's trying to search for signs. Oh, no. Don't go down the hole, Ryan.
But yeah, it's just funny. This movie has the bones, you're right, but it's missing some juice within in between it. Because there's like a moment where he's at school kind of complaining that like how he misses her and she's smart and funny. And I'm like, she's smart and funny? Like, what is she? Just seems like she's, well, you know,
trying to get them both killed. Yeah.
Yeah. Get them killed, shot by Secret Service and kidnapped, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
And he's just like being a trash man the whole time. The thing that kept coming back to me was just men are trash during this movie. Like Reed's trash. That Trump supporter in the truck is trash.
What trash?
Trash.
Probably the most egregious thing is that blue screen Lincoln Memorial, right?
I loved it so much, Brian.
Where you can see like the rings around their outlines of their body, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was shot in Vancouver, I think I saw.
Yeah, I read that too.
Couldn't get the memorial for one day, ABC.
Well, it's the thing. The movie has like some pretty big things. Like there's car chases. There's like that last shot where he takes her out for the last time. And there's like a police escort this time, or like Secret Service escort of the car. Like a CGI helicopter goes through the street. And I'm like, that looks pretty good. That's like a good, like the movie has a lot of that, but that one shot, they basically are at Lincoln Memorial when the sun rises and have their kiss, a decom kiss that we need to keep track of those.
Which is like and, a mwah.
Yeah. And so that happens and it's just like the worst, you know, CGI or not, you know, background ever. It's bad, but it's like someone put up like a Googled Lincoln Memorial and found like a photo that's like pixelated with like a watermark on it and used it as the background.
They just blew it up really big. Yeah. Like a big, yeah. Big picture.
You know, they realized they had a good night, even though it was like all this hijinks happen, and they go their separate ways until the president's like, thank you. You really showed me that I need to let my daughter go out every once in a while and you can keep going out with her. And that's the end of the movie, really, right?
And then that's when there's the helicopters. They're like, we're gonna go out on a date. And then there's a reveal that there's like all these helicopters and cars following. And
yeah, it's like, I like that shot. I love that. That's too. Cool.
Yeah, but I mean, that's it. I feel like we take away that dad should care about their kids more.
Yeah, I like that. That's part of the story. And maybe it's just because I'm older. And I can't relate to these damn kids anymore.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they just seem like, I wish there was something missing just on their side. And I think the movie would be like awesome, but I think it's still on, right?
Oh yeah. It's really fun. I would say it's on. It gave me the nostalgic feels for sure. It was just one of those things where when you look at it as an adult, there wasn't as much substance as you remember there being.
Something that I wanted to talk about is other first daughter or other president's daughter movies. And I've never seen any of these, really. I remember the posters. I remember the DVD covers and the Hollywood video, but I never seen them. But someone made a Venn diagram of the three main ones and how they all what they share in common. So have you seen First Daughter or Chasing Liberty?
I've seen Chasing Liberty, but I don't know that I remember anything about it.
So those came out like a little bit few like years later, like the early 2000s. But Chasing Liberty is Mandy Moore. First Daughter is Dawson. Tom Cruise is
Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise is divorced.
Baby mama. Tom Cruise's baby mama.
Yeah.
So this is what they share. They all share this. They have an opener where the daughter is in a bedroom planning out, panning out to reveal a CGI White House. All three of them do that. Same thing.
Rip off.
My date with the president's daughter in Chasing Liberty. The daughter escapes on the back of a motorcycle in both movies.
I do remember that.
And with First Daughter, My Date with the President's Daughter, the dad is campaigning for a second term, is like the thing that's happening in the movie. And then one thing that Chasing Liberty and First Daughter share that My Date with the President's Daughter doesn't do is there's an undercover Secret Service love interest. So the love interest is with the Secret Service person that's undercover. She doesn't know is a Secret Service.
Oh, that could have been good.
But this is just a goofball meeting a girl in a mall, you know, and asking her out.
Yeah.
They don't even like talk. We didn't even talk about that, but they barely even like say anything to each other other than the hat thing. And he's like, hey, you want to go to a dance tonight?
Yeah, I feel like their only lines of dialogue are like, should we go to the dance? No, let's do this. Should we go to the dance? Yeah. No, let's do this. You're right.
That's all they do. Yeah. What a bummer, because they are both cute as hell. They have nothing really going on. I do like his magic stuff, but that's few and far between.
Yeah.
So
I was surprised by how much I liked her this time watching it, though. Like, I think she's really good for this role. I thought she was fun. Mm-hmm. Like her little free-spirited stuff she was doing.
But not a bad little movie.
Yeah, I still enjoy it. Missing something, but yeah. I don't have much else to say either.
Well, yeah, I guess if you have nothing else to say, I guess that's it for My Date with the President's Daughter. You feel pretty good about that, Madeline?
I feel great about it, and I feel like that is a perfect stopping point.
Okay.
So don't keep listening.
It's new year, 2021. We're going to be putting these out every other week. You know, make sure you follow us on the socials. It's on like DCOM, you know, buy some Charge Rocks. I mean, don't buy some Charge Rocks.
No longer affiliated with Charge Rocks.
And leave a review if you haven't yet on the old iTunes.
Or start a fight with us. We'll fight you.
Yeah, we'd love to fight you.
Yeah, mostly we'd just like to kick your ass.
Yeah, thanks for hanging out, Madeline.
Thanks, Ryan. And this is definitely the end of the podcast.
See you later. Bye.
This is an interruption in your regularly scheduled program. Do not be alarmed, but we have a message for only our truest T-Communists. The future is T-Com.